my Savior.
To invite you this morning over to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 17, verse 1. The Gospel of Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 reads this way. It says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we thank you again for the privilege of gathering together as your church, as your people. And Lord, we ask that you would bless. We thank you that you are in our very midst. And so we ask for the blessing of the Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds, that we might worship you in spirit and in truth, Lord, that you would be exalted and highly lifted up and our lives drawn closer to you, and that you would strengthen the faith and the grace that you've given to us who know you as Savior. And then, Lord, if there's one or maybe more than one that does not have the assurance, may you speak to them as only you can, that they also might enjoy the salvation that you've given to all who will receive and believe, Lord. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of the message this morning is Taken by Jesus. Taken by Jesus. In our text this morning, we have here the Lord giving his disciples a revelation of his glory in heaven. Really, you'll see that here in just a moment. And of what the future is going to be like. And what we're going to experience when we're in eternity forever. That's going to be something to behold. God wants to bless our lives. God wants to guide us and to reveal to us things that that only he can show us. We can understand intellectually the Word of God, but God has to open up our understanding. Jesus told people, listen, you know, we do want to persuade and we do want to try to convey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. But it does take the power of the Holy Spirit to bring the conviction and to open up our understanding before we can personally receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. And then after that, when that happens, then we're indwelt with the Holy Spirit and all new opportunities are opened up to us because we are born again, we're adopted and indwelt with the Holy Spirit that God might do a work in our lives like he could never do before and would not do because spiritually speaking, we are dead, right? Without the Lord Jesus Christ before salvation, spiritually speaking, we are dead. But now we are alive in Christ if we've trusted the Lord as our Savior and can experience all kinds of things. Does God want to take us to places, spiritually speaking? Does he want to take us in our walk with the Lord? Isn't that what the life of Christ is called? Our walk, right? And that's just not a physical walk, but that's a journey that God brings us on. But he says, follow me. So if God says, follow me, where's the Lord and where are we? Oh, what? Are we out in front of the Lord? No, listen, we're following the Lord. He's supposed to be the one that's out in front. But what happens is, it's our natural tendency to say, well, this is the way I see it. Well, there's a problem with that. Because God's thinking and the way we see it are not the same. And so we can be so full of ourselves that is it possible that we might grieve the Holy Spirit? Is it possible for the child of God to grieve the Holy Spirit? And if we grieve the Holy Spirit, are we going to receive a blessing? No. So we need to walk carefully in order that we might hear from the Lord. The Lord has a destiny for each and every one of us in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has a plan just for you. It's not equal to everybody because we're all different. And listen, it's the same salvation, but it's a different work. It's the same work, and yet it's a personal work for every individual believer. Does that make sense? But we can grieve, or we can hold the hand of God. We're still His child if we're saved, right? We're still His child, but we will miss out on the blessings if we're not following the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we approach the things of God just simply from a historical perspective, or just from what information we have in the Bible, and forget about the working of the Holy Spirit that guides us into these truths. Now, let me explain something to you here. Ready? Does God love us unconditionally? He does love us unconditionally. But He does not love us unconditionally to leave us in our sins. See, this is different now. Today, here's a new teaching. Ready? It doesn't matter what I do because God loves me unconditionally. Oh, you'll never find that in the Word of God. You cannot choose to buck against the Word of God because that's the will of God. And if we're not willing to be compliant with the Word of God and allow it to be our guide, God's not smiling on our lives. He's not just saying, oh, well, they're just human after all. No, He said, I've saved you. I've indwelt you with my Holy Spirit. And so I have given you so many talents according to His will into our lives. What are we doing with those talents? Well, those who say, well, I can live any way I want to because I'm a child of the King, I have a problem with that. Technically, that is true because salvation is by grace through faith. But for a child of God to have the attitude that it doesn't matter, they think very little of the blood of Christ. They think very little of what's been given to them, and they may be in for a shock when they stand before the Lord, because the Bible says, Jesus said, not everybody that calls me Lord, Lord shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But Lord, we've done many wonderful works. Lord, we've done many miracles. Lord, we've proclaimed your name. And Jesus says, I will say unto them, I never knew you. It's important, listen, that we realize and that we cherish our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God says, listen, I want to take you to a place. I want to give you experiences in your life that will solidify and substantiate your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't just believe in an empty faith. We believe in a faith that's been substantiated and will be substantiated by the power of God in our lives. He says, okay, here's what you do. When you follow me, I'm going to reveal things to you that's going to solidify your faith that the world is not going to see, that's going to cause you to have your confidence strengthened in your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, to know that He will never leave nor forsake you, and that He will hold you world without end throughout all eternity, that we are in the hand of God. So this morning I want to consider three thoughts that we'll find here in our text, and that is a revelation that only God grants. That's the first thought. The second one is Peter's idea and the Father's direction. And then the third and last thought will be the Lord's touch. So let's consider this. Notice verse 1 with me as we consider the revelation that only God grants. Question, did the Lord have more disciples than these three that He took with Him? Now, I don't know why He just chose these three, but I do believe this. God wants to bring us and give to you and I a revelation that will strengthen our faith. When the Lord resurrected and Thomas missed out because he did not join himself with the disciples, I don't know what the reason was, but he didn't show up, but all the other disciples were there and they began to tell him about what they saw. And there's no doubt in my mind that they saw the nail prints in his hands. There was no doubt in my mind that they saw the wounds and who he was and knew who he was. And they told Thomas, hey, listen, Thomas, we saw the Lord. And then he felt like, well, I'm not going to be cheated in this. Unless I see his nail prints, I'm not going to believe. Well, he took it a step further, didn't he? Because the disciples weren't saying, well, it's not that we weren't believing, but Their faith was shook up, was it not? Their faith was shaken here because of what had taken place. And the reason why their faith was shaken was they could not understand, they did not understand the cross and the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because they didn't understand the death and the cross, they surely didn't understand or even believe in the resurrection. Do you believe they were sad, were they not? And the reason for that was because what had taken place did not fit into their understanding. It didn't work out the way that I thought it should go. Well, that's news, isn't it? Because God's thoughts are not ours. But I want you to know the Lord went after them to build their faith. And did he appear to Thomas? We call him Doubting Thomas. But the truth is we all can put our feet in his shoes, can we not? And God says, listen, Thomas, don't be unbelieving, but believing. Oh, he said, my Lord and my God. And the Lord says, you believe because you see? He says, listen, there are those that believe, that are going to believe that haven't seen. They're going to be more blessed because of the faith that God's going to give them. Listen, God is wanting to do a great work in the life of every believer so that we are standing on a solid rock. If we have a shaky faith, we're not standing on a solid rock. If we can't see God in our lives, listen, then maybe he's missing and we need to call on him and say, oh God, if you've been born again, there's nobody that's going to tell you that you're not saved. They can say it all they want to. Listen, I know this. Listen, where before I was blind, I surely do see now. Where I had no hope, I surely have hope now. And God wants to strengthen that hope and build that hope. And he can only do that. But we have to be following him. The moment we begin to tell God how he ought to run the show, we're going to miss it. So I don't know where these disciples are at, but I do know these three are here with him. And notice this place that God brings him. He brings him to a high place, apart specifically to give them a revelation. You and I do not understand the Word of God unless he gives us a revelation. You cannot approach the Bible as a strictly a natural textbook. It is a spiritual book. Listen, you will misunderstand things unless you call upon the Lord to open up your understandings, because just by ourselves, we're helpless. We will look at things and miss them all day long until God opens up the book to us. So by faith we know, because we're his children, that he'll answer. So notice again, verse 1. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up unto a high mountain apart. So this means it's a personal revelation. This means that not everybody is seeing it. There are things that God wants to show all of his children. Listen, personal things that will build our faith and help us to have more understanding. Look, notice what they see in verse 2. And it's the glory of God revealed. They didn't see this before. Look at verse 2. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. You think the Israelites were afraid of Moses when his face... Listen, this was the Son of God. I have no idea what they saw, but it was not natural. It was supernatural, and it revealed God in a way they had never seen him before. And I want you to know that God wants to reveal himself to you and I in such a way that we've never seen it before. God is infinite. There's no end to him. Salvation is just the beginning. Listen to this. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. Listen to this. And his raiment was white as the light. Again, I'm going to tell you, I've never seen anything like that. But I dare say they all knew that this was God. Do you believe that? They all seen something here they never saw before. And now not only do we see the glory of God revealed, this is what the Lord was showing them, but he also wanted to give them a revelation of our future. Look at verse 3. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. That's the future. Are they in corruptible bodies? No, they're in a glorified body. Now, I understand it, some people identify it as the soul body because of the resurrection hadn't taken place for mortal man. But they were able to know who they were. Did Elijah and Moses live hundreds of years before these disciples? They did. And how did they know who they were? Moses didn't say, Peter, James, and John, my name is Moses. And Elijah didn't do the same. But when they saw them, they knew exactly who they were. You know what that tells me? In heaven, we will all know each other. The Bible tells us that. We will all know each other. So listen, when they walked away, do you think maybe they said, hey, we knew who they were? They never told us who they were, and we knew who they were. They got a revelation of what the future is going to be like in the kingdom of God. And so here they are. They know this, and now we find Peter's idea and the Father's direction. Peter gets this great idea. No, he didn't. No, he really didn't. I want you to know he interrupted the revelation. He did. Now, I'm not going to say, because we're not really told, but it all came to a stop as soon as Peter opened up his mouth. So then answered Peter, after it said, behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elias talking with him, so talking with the Lord. So here's Peter, James, and John, and Peter's watching this, and they're having this conversation. And I'm telling you, Peter was awed. Do you believe that? If you were there, what would you do? What would you think? What would you say? I don't know either. But I will tell you this, it was captivating. Because it was God in his glory with his saints. One day you and I were already in the family of God, but what is it going to be like? We don't know yet. And so verse 4, Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Yeah, that's why the Lord took you there. Amen? God wants to take us to good places. And he says, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, now he's asking permission, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee and one for Moses and one for Elias. Now they weren't considering themselves. Here was the idea. Peter was saying, I would like to stay here for a while. I'm enjoying. This is so good. But you know what? Listen, even in what appeared to be a good thing in his own mind was not the right thing to do. Because God does not want us to touch anything but just simply to follow. And he will show us what he wants us to see. But see, we get in the middle of things. That's our nature. We want to get involved in it. And we want to help God. And God says, oh no. Listen, just follow me. That is more difficult than we really realize. And yet, wait, I want you to understand this. It's the easiest thing to do. Listen, when God says, I will give you my strength, I will lead you in the way, all we have to do is follow. We complicate it because we start creating a list that God never gave us on what we need to do. Well, this is what I need to do. Now, God did say that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together in his house. God did say we ought to read the Bible. God did say we ought to be in the scriptures. We ought to study to show ourselves approved. He did tell us that we ought to pray. He did tell us those things. But then we get things all out of sorts and we start to think, well, I can never do that. You can never do what? What is it that God has asked you to do and me to do that you can't do? You see how we confound things? We come up with these ideas. Here's all he said to do. Ready? Follow me. That's all he said. Follow me, and then I will bring you to the situations, and I will even give you what you need to say that the gainsayers won't be able to speak against. Do you believe that? No. Listen. What am I going to say if I encounter this? Lord, if I witness to this person, they might say this, and they might say that. What am I going to say? Well, see, we've stepped out in front of the Lord. The Lord said, let me lead you, and I'll even lead you to the ones I want you to witness to, and I will even give you the words that you need to say. All you need to do is follow me through my word and seek me, and I'll reveal myself to you, and I will show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. we begin to look, the moment we start looking to ourselves is the moment we're messing up. And rightly so, listen, because there is no strength in us concerning the spiritual realm without the Lord. And so, he gets this great idea, and here we find in verse 5, as he's involving himself, it says this, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them." Now listen, a bright cloud. Clouds usually cause a shadow, don't they? But this cloud, not a silver-lined cloud. We've seen those. But this was a bright, the whole cloud was bright. I don't know what the size of it was, but I do know this, it was the Lord God in it. So it wasn't any kind of cloud you and I have ever seen. And I want you to see the response that took place. Verse 5, "While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice came out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him." Isn't that amazing? So again, here's Peter getting in front, and the Lord is wanting to redirect his attention. You know what the Lord was basically saying? Listen to what he's saying. Stop coming up with your own ideas. That will mislead you all day long. And God is wanting us to stop coming up with what we think. Look to the Word of God and by faith say, "Lord, I want to walk in that. Help me to see what you're saying and help me to follow that and stop leaning to my own understanding and watch the things that God will bring to pass and the understanding that God will grant as we seek Him." You know, listen, I want you to know there are scriptures that I struggle with. When I bring them to the Lord, He's good to give me complete peace. I have complete confidence and peace in what God is revealing to me, and yet so other people don't have that peace. They still have questions and concerns and maybe ideas. And that's what we will always have until God brings it to rest in our hearts and minds. And He wants to do that. So we'll come up with our own ideas. Verse 6, "And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid." So they're fearful now, right? Now, where did they come from? Do you remember what it says in verse 1? After 6 days, Jesus took them. Well, after 6 days of what? Well, remember in chapter 16, the Lord was asking them, "Who do men say that I am?" And they were saying, "Well, some say, you know, that you're John the Baptist or Elias or Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But the Lord said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Wait a minute. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it? That's right. Because flesh and blood will never bring us to rest unless it's the Spirit of God. Unless it's God giving us the definition of what we're looking for. As long as we come up, "Well, this is what I think. Well, in my humble opinion," well, and that's the way we'll go. In our own humble opinion, we'll never be brought to rest. And so, how easy is this to come in and out of? That was there in Matthew 16, verse 17, when he said flesh and blood didn't reveal it to him. And then he began to tell him how he was going to build his church. And then verse 21 in Matthew chapter 16, take a look there. It says, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." He told them all these things. But see, that did not compute, did it? They did not understand that. Did they understand that? How many times is that? Listen, how difficult is that to understand? Jesus is going to be persecuted. He's going to be betrayed. And he's going to be crucified. But listen, it doesn't matter how simple it is. We can't understand it unless the Lord brings us into it. Now, let's just look at how complicated this is. We say, "My goodness, well, that's so elementary." So are a whole bunch of other scriptures. But unless the Lord brings us into it, unless the Lord reveals it to us, it's not going to mean what God wants it to mean to us. So he begins to tell him these things, right? How he's going to raise the third day. Well, what's Peter's response? Verse 22. Then Peter took him. Now that's important. When you take somebody, you are physically holding them. Let's give Peter the eye, because I believe he loved the Lord. I believe, oh no! This is what must be done. Oh no! The Lord wants to do this in your life. Oh no! Because we don't by faith trust him. That word faith and trust are interchangeable. So, oh no! Verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, now I'm just going to give you my idea. When Peter took him, I think he's looking at him in the face. I think when the Lord turned, I think he's looking away from Peter and walking away from Peter and saying, get thee behind me. Listen, verse 23, but he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. Listen, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Maybe the Lord is turning our backs, his back toward us, because we're savoring the things that be of men that are temporal and passing away more than the things of God. I'm not saying, and God's not saying we don't live in this world. God's not saying that we can't work and he expects us to do those things, but where is God? In our pursuit of things, is he number one? Or have we put other things in front of him? See, that's our own understanding. Our own understanding is, yeah, I know what the Bible says, but where's the Lord? When we start to savor the things that are temporal more than the things that are spiritual, maybe the Lord's turned and say, you savor the things that be, let me know when you want to see the things that are spiritual. I believe his love doesn't change for us. It's our love that grows cold, is it not? Lukewarm. So let's look at the mercy of God. Look what he says here to Peter as he's walking away, as he told him that you savor those things that be of men. Verse 24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, he's talking to all of them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know, I think those are just words until God helps us to understand what it means, what a cross is. It's not the same thing the world has. The world doesn't pick up the Lord's cross. I'm not saying that trials don't come our way as they do into the life of the world. But our cross has to do with our relationship with Christ. Sometimes it's not convenient to pray. Sometimes we need to labor. And sometimes we feel, maybe, that our prayers aren't getting past the ceiling. But am I going to go by my feelings? Or am I going to persevere in God's truth, know that he hears me, know that it honors God, even when it doesn't feel that way? Amen. Sometimes I feel that it's difficult to read the Word of God. But if I say, oh God, bless your Word to me, it's an amazing thing. He will bring us into the green pastures. And the same thing when we call on him. He will bring us to that place. But we get to the first difficult thing in the road and we turn off. We say, forget it. That's the natural realm to do. Oh, no, Lord, no suffering for you. Be that far from you, Lord. And here's the wonderful thing. 6 days after that, the Lord took Peter too. Isn't that good? That's God's mercy. All right. So I would dare say that they overstepped the bounds of God's will when he said, now you and I would look at that and we'd say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, he wasn't listening. That's what God said. here's my son, listen to him. Don't come up with your own ideas. That you're not going to get well done that way. Listen. Listen to what God is saying. And so the last thing we find is the Lord's touch. Notice what happens here. Ready? Verse 7. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise, listen to this, and be not afraid. Were they afraid? The Bible tells us they were afraid, doesn't it? They fell on their face. Verse 6. When they heard the voice, and they were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. So let me ask you a question. Do you think Peter should repeat his grandiose idea? Oh, I'm so glad, Lord, you gave me so much. I'm just going to go and do the same thing again. What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different outcome. Verse 8. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. That means that Moses and Elias was gone. And as they came down from the mountain, this is a personal revelation. It's time revealed. Listen to this. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Could that be any clearer? Who's the Son of Man? Was it not the Lord? Did the disciples not just know that he was the Son of Man? Didn't Peter just get the revelation from God? So if Jesus is telling them, I'm going to raise again, and Peter just finished telling him, Lord, no! And now the crucifixion takes place and they still don't know? I dare say we need the Lord's help in a great and mighty way. Because we can hear it time after time after time after time and still miss it. Paul was given revelations that he was not allowed. He said, these revelations that Paul got, he said, I'm not even allowed to tell you. I can't even speak of them. But these are personal revelations that God has for his children. The apostles, the disciples, the word of God, all this has been given to us for our example. Do you believe that? That means that Jesus Christ and the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, have revelations for you and I that God wants to give. Do you believe that? And maybe you say, no, I don't believe that. Well, then so be it unto you according to your faith. And all you're going to have is a history book. So all you're going to have in the Bible is a history book because you don't believe it's for you. Because you don't trust what God is saying. Because these things have been given unto us to walk in them and to live in them, not just to read about them. To adhere, then we're not following the Lord, you see? It's very simple. People, listen, be careful of what you're hearing people say today. In their books about the Bible. And listen, there's many, media preachers, radio, TV, internet, that are proclaiming, oh, God just loves you. God just loves me the way I am. God didn't save us to leave us just the way that we are. God saved us to redeem us and to give us his life. And if you can't see his life, you better have some questions. Well, why would you cause me to doubt and fear, Brother George? Because if you're not careful, you'll find yourself among that group that the Lord never knew when you stand before him. And you'll find that my warning from the Word of God is one out of compassion and concern. And so here's the Lord guiding the disciples, giving them a timed revelation. And he wants to also give us a revelation that's in his timing as we seek him. Or we can just look at it academically and say, he said A, so it must mean B, and that will come out with C. Isn't that so simple? No, it's not so simple. Unless God reveals it, you're going to be the blind leading the blind, because that's what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and all the religious rulers of the day were saying, well, this is how we see it. Did they see it the right way? No, they crucified the Savior. And we'll miss the will of God too. Who do we think we are? Well, that can't happen to me. Well, listen, They had the truth as well. Let me ask you a question. Has the Word of God changed? Has God changed? It ought to concern us that this world is not being flipped upside down by God's church. Because that's what he used, and that was his plan, world without end. To that God would have glory in the church, world without end. That's Ephesians 3:21. Do you think God is getting glory out of the church today? I don't think so. Does God still love his people? Absolutely. But we got this idea, it's just all right. No, it's not. No, it isn't. And we won't be ready to stand for him if we're not standing now. I don't know. I don't know how it's all going to unfold. I don't know that there's not going to be pre-rapture tribulation. I didn't say the tribulation period. Just before the rapture takes place, I believe, listen, that when God unloads his wrath on humanity, I believe the church will be out. You read that in the book of Revelations after Revelation singular. After chapter 4, when he calls John, that's it. You don't hear about the church until the end after the tribulation period. But that doesn't mean that it's not going to get a little bit uncomfortable for God's people before the rapture takes place. Where will you stand? Will you betray the Lord? We ought to say, oh God, help me. Because without you, I will betray you. Peter did it. And he walked with the Lord. I don't see myself any stronger than Peter. In fact, I have no strength at all unless God gives it to me. How about you? Maybe we've forgotten to seek the Lord and to see how much we need him. Listen, God gives us, we have an opportunity today. This is not doom and gloom. This is an opportunity for you and I as God's people to say, oh God, set my soul on fire. Lord, that I might be found faithful. I do see that the Lord's church has become lukewarm, has it not? Are we really, so the police department is having to cut down on their police force because there's not that much crime taking place. That's what would happen when revival was taking place. Study it for yourself. The police department was cutting down its force because they had no crime. And you could see people praying on the side of the road on a Sunday. You can see people, you see that today? I've never seen that unless I was participating in it. And it was not a common occurrence. It was just, we happened to be outside somewhere and had a word of prayer. But it's not a common thing. Last thought. Look what the Lord tells him here. Ready? Verse 10. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes? Remember, he said, don't tell the vision to anybody. And the disciples have this question. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? Now listen. Think about this. Ready? Why did he ask that question? Because he was in the presence of God. And God was, listen, that is out of context. There's no rhyme or reason for that. But God will cause us to ask the right questions at the right time because he's leading in all of that. We don't come up with that ourselves. So God is wanting to bring them into more truth. Now watch this. And again, let's look at it. Look at verse 9. And as they came down from the mountain, they just got a rebuke, did they not? They were just shaken in their sandals, and the Lord calmed their hearts, said, don't be afraid. And then as he's coming down, verse 9, and as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And notice this, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? Concerning the Messiah, okay? So so there's a question here. They're saying, well, wait, you're telling us that you're going to go, you're going to be betrayed, but the Bible says that, or the prophets are saying that Elias has to come first. In verse 11, and Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. Did he come already? You and I know the story, but they didn't know it, and neither would we if he didn't reveal it. Look at verse 12. But I say unto you that Elias has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then his disciples understood that he spake unto them of who? They would have never made that connection, even though he looked like him. One more thing. Listen, you're right there in the book of Matthew. Go to the last book of the Old Testament. Just flip back from Matthew, and you'll come right to Malachi. And here's what was written concerning Elijah, which was John the Baptist, in the plan of God. Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. If you go straight back to the Old Testament from Matthew, you're going to hit it. Malachi 4, verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. That's the prophecy fulfilled. They had that, but we would have never got that unless the Lord said it was John. And now they could see all the parallels, can't they? Oh, yeah, they even dressed alike. There's a lot of the same attribute. It was the Spirit that was moving Elijah, that was moving John the Baptist. It was God that brought them into that. We can't bring ourselves anywhere in our walk with the Lord. Jesus says, if you'll follow me, I'll show you the way. If you'll follow me, I'll make sure that you're on that solid foundation. If you'll follow me, I'll give you the peace that passes understanding. You're a saved child of God, but we're not entitled to that unless we follow the Lord. It's ours to have. God wants to give it to us. But if it's the Lord's peace, and if it's the Lord's joy, and if it's the Lord's assurance, where might it be found? If not in the Lord. Well, I'm in Christ. Yeah, but we need to be walking with him. And he'll show us the way. We need to be seeking him. We need to be asking him, Lord, I want your will in my life. Is that a good question? Lord, I want your... Is that a prayer? Prayer is asking. Lord, I want your will in my life. Don't answer this. When was the last time you asked God for that? I want your will, whatever you created me for, I want you to fulfill that in my life. Now you're investing the talents that he's given and not burying them. That's all you have to do. But you have to really want it. You just don't mouth it, right? You have to be serious with the Lord. And I will warn you. I'll give you a warning. Ready? If you ask God for that, he will bring things to pass that will bring his will forth in your life. Because he's the real deal. He is the genuine article that can fulfill his will in our lives. But we've got to present ourselves and ask him. And then he'll open up our understanding and show us his way. And we'll hear his voice. My sheep know my voice and follow me. So this morning, God wants to take us apart, does he not? From this old world. He wants to take us apart from our old self. He wants to take us away from all the things that bring destruction, that we might be the light of the world, beginning in our own lives, to our family, and into the world. The invitation truly is the Lord's, but the choice is ours. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, knowing that where two or three are gathered, there are you in the midst. And we thank you, Lord, for the word, Lord, that you open up to our hearts and minds. Lord, you know where each and every one of us stand. May we see, Lord, that we stand before you. Lord, what are we doing with the life that you've given to us if we're not calling on you to fulfill your will? Speak to hearts as only you can, lest we fool ourselves, Lord. Bless the invitation, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.